nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, very pleasant good morning to you. Hi, this is Patrick Timpone. And part two of our show, we usually have a couple of people on each morning. And this is number two with Yosef Bender. And Yosef's a water expert. He's founder and acting president of the Institute of Advanced Water Sciences. He's been researching, inventing, entrepreneur since early on. For the last 20 years, he's been researching water, and we've done quite a few really great shows on water with Yosef. And if you'd like to see those, simply or hear them anyway, simply go to OneRadioNetwork.com, put in Yosef Bender, and you're going to meet him in a second, and put him in the search function, and you'll bring up all the shows that we did on water, lots of that. This morning, though, we are going to dig into detoxification in a toxic world, and the two-shot camera thing is not going to work. We tried it. I've been spending the last 15 minutes how to try to get it to work. Hi, Yosef. How are you doing? You look good. How you doing? Everything good?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll just leave you on camera every now and then. They can see me, but who cares? They see enough of me. So how is your life? What are you doing? Tell us about your life these days.
Oh, always doing some interesting research, working with growing, seeing how water works with super growing plants, doing several experiments on that. Indoor growing, advanced urban growing models is what my latest research has been.
Advanced, so we can see some plants in the background there. So you're experimenting how to grow more things inside?
Inside, yeah. Gotten basil leaves about this big.
Wow.
When you can control the environment, closed controlled environments, really the plant, when especially in the Texas heat, when it gets a certain temperature, the plant goes into a stress mode and is just trying to survive the heat. Whereas if you give it an ideal environment, it puts all its energy into growing.
And so do you have to, Joseph, do you have to do extra lights, like the grow lights and those things? Or do you just?
Yeah, I use LEDs and I forget what you call them, T20 lights. I've used mercury. I've used actually every kind of lighting in some of my research over the years. And then I have a robot in the growing model. If you Google vertical farming comes to Flagstaff, Arizona, you'll see a model where we grew up walls and we had a robot going up and down the wall with lights.
So what lights have you found that work the best for indoor? Do you have a fave?
Again, the best is a plant needs several frequencies. It needs a whole spectrum and a certain amount of IR. And so you kind of have to, I use LED lights combination with a T fluorescent bulb, get all the medium of light that I need into the thing. Again, sunlight is about 100 times more than any indoor lighting. So you have to really work on balancing the light frequencies without burning the plant.
So if we're using a great, or just a standard LED bulb, like a spotlight thing, does that have a full spectrum, Yosef, of light?
No. They're actually very bad for your eyes also.
Yeah,
The LED light bulbs that are sold in the store, you want to stay away from that. You really want to go back to incandescent.
Yeah. Is it because of the blue spectrum that they have?
It's the lack of other spectrums that affect the eye, but yeah, the blue spectrum. It's like ultraviolet light is very harmful for the eyes, and it's those lights edge on the edge of ultraviolet spectrums.
What about back in the days of when people were doing wheatgrass and they used the full spectrum long fluorescent guys, do they work well for plants?
Anytime you're doing microgreens, which is the first, you know, there's sprouts, microgreens, and then baby greens. So microgreens and baby greens need a lot less light than a full matured plant. So you can get by with lesser light sources. One of the experiments I want to do is close proximity low-level LED lights. Most of the LED light grow lights are high-level LED lights.
Uh-huh.
But I thought we were going to talk about toxins.
We are. We're going to get there. I'm just kind of interested in the whole light thing. You know, I'm interested because I think there's a real need here. More people, especially people in apartments, you know, they're concerned about everything going on in the world, right? And if there would be an interruption of food supply. And that kind of thing that they're trying to figure out. People that I know would like to be able to figure out how to grow something inside, right, with an apartment setting or even in their home. So it's good stuff what you're doing.
Right. I actually, in Chicago, Illinois, in my basement, I grew 80% of the food I ate.
Really? Wow. No kidding.
And, but now, please understand that I was a live food vegan, and so microgreens and sprouts was a big part of that diet. So I just had to buy olive oil and a few other things to make. But it is possible. I also, when I was in Israel with a group, you know, these poor people in the southern Israel spend half their life in a bomb shelter.
Wow.
And so we made mini sprouters so that they could at least have some fresh stuff while they were in their bomb shelter.
Really? Generally, when you do sprouts and jars and those kinds of things, you don't really need light, do you, Yosef? You don't really?
No.
Okay.
Sprouts don't really need light.
They don't really need light. Could you live off of sprouts if you wanted to or had to or needed to or whatever the word is?
Yes.
Could you?
And, you would be, the life force in sprouts is the highest that the plant will ever have.
Wow.
Living off sprouts is a great health benefit.
And what are some of your faves that you like, top of the list?
Sunflower seed sprouts, I think, is my favorite.
Sunflower, yeah. Well, it's a strange world out there with the toxicity. Let's dig into that, because that's really what we're going to talk about. So blood purification, that's kind of top on your list. So what kind of things purify the blood? Are we speaking in terms of herbs, Joseph Bender, for this?
Yeah. I think every household understand that herbs are a part of their life, an important part of balancing their body chemistry, of keeping the body clean. We live in such a toxic environment. We're breathing in toxins. The lungs have very little defense against toxins. And so the most damaging stuff is what we actually breathe in through our lungs. It's in our food. It's in our neighbor's lawn that sprays with Roundup. There you have electromagnetic pollution that's lowering the immune system. So you're being bombarded from just about every aspect. If you take pharmaceuticals, you're being poisoned. So there's so many ways that toxins are coming in the body. And it's necessary to do routine detoxes if you're going to live a healthy, vibrant life.
Hmm. And you see, I'm curious that you said that most of the unwanted characters come in through the lungs that we breathe, Yosef, even in our home, just comes in through the window.
Well, think of what happens when you take a hot shower.
Uh-huh.
You're in a closed environment, And if you don't have any defense against the chlorine, because of the heat of the water, is gassing off, and you're in basically a gas chamber,
yeah,
breathing in chlorine. That's why so many people feel tired after they take a shower. It's because they've been breathing in chlorine gas the whole time they're taking the shower. That's why one of the first defenses I recommend when I recommend water systems is protect your showers from chlorine.
Now, very few, from my understanding, very few water filters for your shower do that. Is that correct? You have to really get a good one?
The little carbon filters that fit on top of the shield shower remove about 16%. I've come up with a 2.5-pound KDF unit that removes about 80% of the C's and carbon. But it's a big, ugly, luggy thing that fits in the shower. But
it works.
Hey, you know, it works, and it's affordable. If a person can afford it, of course, a whole house carbon KDF system is recommended. So that way it gets the stuff out of your clothes, because when your clothes is against your body, you're picking up toxins that away. Mm-hmm. Remember, your skin is 1/3 of your toxins are eliminated through the skin, and you also take in nutrients through the skin.
Mm-hmm. So is fluoride in the city water, is that an issue, and does the KDF carbon filter get rid of that?
Unfortunately not. Fluoride is really damaging when you consume it, because basically what fluoride does is it coats itself on calcium channels like your bones. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole quote positive aspect, is supposedly your teeth get coated with this fluoride, so the sugar is eating the fluoride, not your teeth. But just stop eating sugar and you solve the problem.
Yeah.
But when you ingest fluoride, especially these baby formulas with fluoride, is just pure poisoning. And what is it? It coats your bone growth, and it causes all sorts of bone growth and maladies. As a result, the bones don't grow properly because they're coated with this crap fluoride, which has no human nutrient value at all. Our body needs zero fluoride in us from any source.
Zero fluoride.
Yeah. There's not a minimum a nutrient guide for fluoride. It's a toxin through and through.
Joseph Bender is with us. If you care to join the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com is the email, 888-663-6386. Already somebody wants to know, where can I get one of these KDF carbon filters for my shower? I want one. So where do people get these guys?
If you want to get the one that I make, there's some contact information, right, that we put at the end of the show.
We can do that, yeah. We'll put that on your show page. You mean to contact you, your email?
Yeah, and I can I actually have to build them from scratch, but I order the parts and build them and then send them out. Also put a monopolar magnetic field on the edge of the shower. When water goes through a monopolar magnetic field, it has an effect on the skin, so it actually softens the skin a little. And so, and those things normally sell for like $200-something. I sell my whole unit for $120, so you get all the chlorine removal and the monopolar magnetic field for half the price of one of those things.
And what are you doing? You put in a little magnet right there when it comes out of the wall before it goes into the filter, Joseph?
No, right before it comes out of the shower head.
Oh.
After the filter.
After the filter. Wow, that's pretty sexy. And it's a monopolar. What does that do?
Monopolar, you know, normally a magnet has a north and south side.
Mm-hmm.
A monopolar magnet only has one side. So you only have one magnetic field And I use the bioavailable field for skin.
That's great. Is it the north side or the south side?
It's the north side.
It's the north side. North pole magnet.
South leaning north side.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So they'll be able to contact you if folks want to get one of those. But it's a pretty big kind of. A lot of people don't like to put them in their shower because they're so ugly.
Yeah, that's the only downside of it is it's a 10-inch filter housing that fits coming out of the pipe in the shower. And sometimes you have to arrange it because the shower gets too low.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
But I've installed probably 300 of those things over the years.
If
a person can afford it, get a whole house system, that's better.
Sure, that's the whole deal. If somebody's copper pipes, is that an issue? Copper water pipes?
It really depends upon the water. There are certain acidic waters that really strip the copper. As long as you're not drinking it, copper's not
terrible, huh?
Not sad on your skin or something. Mm-hmm. But most waters have some kind of hardness in it. So what happens is as the water passes across the copper, it makes a small electric field and causes the calcium to start plating around the copper, inside of the copper pipe, until it actually makes a smaller and smaller hole.
Yeah.
So I've cut copper pipes where there's just a tiny quarter-inch hole through the center.
Because it gathers all the hard water.
Yeah.
Now, in my case, I'm on rainwater, which is very soft. That's going to pull it out and put it into the shower, right?
Right.
That's aggressive water, right? I'm more male.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But copper's not... it's actually... you use colloidal and ionic copper to make skin products... it actually helps the skin.
So it's not terrible, yeah. I've been doing it for 20 years, and my skin looks fine. Joseph Bender's with us. So okay, on these lungs, guys, what kind of things are we doing to help the lungs to deal with any kinds of toxins that we breathe in?
In this day of masks... People are breathing in so many mask fibers in their body. It's really they definitely have to do. I actually didn't outline a lung cleanse, but cupping is a method used with people with cystic fibrosis, where you cup your hand and go up and down the chest and kind of lodge the loose stuff. I have a little oxygen concentrator by my bed, and so I dumps a little oxygen where we sleep, so we get a higher percentage of oxygen during the night.
Ah, you actually breathe 2-3-5 liters a minute, kind of an oxygen concentrator. That's good.
Right.
Interesting. Because we've had actually folks on that say that breathing oxygen like that is not good for you, but you obviously don't agree with that. You wouldn't do it.
It breathing pure oxygen is not good for you. You need the other gases.
Right.
But breathing, I worked with Dr. Baugh on the creation research years ago, where we made a 30% oxygen environment at 2.5 atmospheres, so it was higher pressure. And everything grew into prehistoric size. We grew a dragonfly with a 3-foot wingspan.
Whoa.
After three generations. So, and one of the people in our larger hyperbaric chamber had, I forget what condition he had, but his body started healing in that higher oxygen environment. So we're really oxygen starved. And that's why we make so many free radical oxygen, which is the O2 gets split into O1s, and the O1s are doing free radical damage.
Ah, I see.
So it's actually the lack of oxygen that makes us have the problem with free radicals.
Free radicals, yeah. Do you have any opinions on EWOT, where you breathe this pure oxygen while you're exercising? You think that's beneficial? There's a lot of controversy about that.
Yeah, I think breathing. Right now, we're supposedly breathing 20% oxygen. But what I know from a fact of doing research is that the measurement standards have been lowered twice since the 1950s.
Uh-huh.
So we're probably really breathing about 16-17% oxygen.
Okay.
In places like Japan, they actually have machines where you put in money and breathe oxygen so you can make it across the street, because they're in about a 13% oxygen environment.
Wow. What's the other percentage? If we're breathing 17, what else is in there?
Nitrogen, of course, is 70% of what's in air.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's some noble gases and some slight, there's carbon dioxide and other things mm-hmm. in the environment. But the carbon dioxide is what helps us establish our breathing.
Yeah.
So it's actually necessary to... So when we were making this pre-diluvian model, we had 30% oxygen at two atmospheres, which is twice the pressure, and a 5% CO2 increase. And everything grew super large. A fly that normally lives 2 weeks was living 6 months.
Is it possible to refit that for our own breathing and some sexy technology?
There are now inflatable hyperbaric chambers. I've actually had a hyperbaric chamber and treated people with hyperbaric oxygen. There's 13 accepted uses for using hyperbaric oxygen,
mm-hmm.
but there is a documented over 180 secondary things that happened. The person had asthma and they went into hyperbaric because of this, and they got healed of their asthma. The person had this, and so there's. If we could return to a pure oxygen, I mean not a pure oxygen, but a percentage oxygen environment. The healing and the strength and what would take place. That's why it's such tragic, is right now people are wearing a face mask and they're concentrating their carbon dioxide.
Yes.
One of the ways the lung is constantly detoxing is when you breathe out, bacteria, unwanted bacteria, and all sorts of things that it encapsulates in a tiny mucable. Well, when you breathe into a mask, you're rebreathing all that crap.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're just you're making things worse.
Yeah, we've seen quite a few studies that flesh out what you've just said, and it's a real challenge with this whole mask thing, and it looks like who's ever behind all this is going to do more of it, huh, Joseph? I mean, I think the Austin guy just extended it. What did the mask thing till December 15th? I read.
There is so much craziness going on and grabbing power. If they can put power on you, they're going to do it.
Yeah,
that's again why we really need to work on having regular regimes of detoxing. When you breathe it in, where does it go? It goes to the blood first.
Okay.
So the herbs that are good for the blood are a dandelion root is like a king.
Okay.
That stands on top of that pyramid. Red clover, burdock. There's lots of other smaller herbs. Even leafy greens, apple cider vinegar, all have good purifying effects. So there's things you can do just in your diet.
Yeah.
To help clean your blood out. So the interesting thing about blood toxicity is you immediately feel it.
Hmm.
Unlike toxicity in other areas where you don't notice it until it's gone. So everybody should have a blood purifying. There's several combinations with different herbs in it that they should get and have. And then if they have a headache, instead of taking aspirin, go ahead and take two blood purifying herbs and a glass of water. Be sure you get plenty of water so that and you don't eat anything else with it. Whenever you take herbs, you always want to drink it with water or make a decoction or a heavy tea and then let it sit without any other foods interfering with it.
So in the case like of dandelion root, where you can get the good one organic with the silymarin in it kind of thing, so the dried and encapsulated, they work pretty well? It's okay?
Yeah, if you, like I say, if you, it's not as good, obviously, wild-crafted dandelion, and sad to say, you know, it used to be you could just go out and garden and get dandelion root just grown, you know, it was growing all over.
Right, right.
Now, because of Roundup, it's been poisoned, and so it's hard to find. You know, it's taken our yard 3 years to heal from the GMO grass that was originally there. Now, all sorts of wild plants are growing up as a result of us tending to the garden and putting some mycelium and eating away some of the bad stuff and mm-hmm. recoiling it. But
Well, tell us about these blood purifying herbs. Can you recommend a good product that our listeners on this August 6, 18 morning can get to take a blood purifier herbs, and would you do it regularly?
I would do it as, like I say, whenever you feel an acute something going on, the first defense is to start taking blood purifying herbs. It doesn't hurt to take them throughout, you know, a couple times a week. I've never taken them consistently. I guess because you know, I do eat beets. Beets is also a blood purifying. Ginger and turmeric. You know, we do take turmeric pills. Those also have blood cleansing. And then again, back to water. Lemon water in the morning is probably not only does help the stomach acids function right, but it becomes a cleanser of the blood.
Excellent. Lime water work as well, but you want lemon?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But
fair enough. That's all right. If you care to join the show, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com with Yosef Bender. Go ahead.
Okay, the next thing that we need to regularly cleanse is the liver.
Yes, your liver.
And the liver is constantly getting assaulted. Alcohol, of course, is the worst. When you drink, especially hard liquor, it takes a minimum of 2 weeks to regrow the liver from the damage that drink did.
Wow.
And so, to give you in a comparison, if an adult drinks a shot glass whiskey, he needs to work on his liver for 2 weeks to get it back to normal. If a 5-year-old drank a shot glass of whiskey, it would do permanent liver damage. And if an infant was given a shot glass of whiskey, it would kill it.
My goodness. It's that toxic.
Yeah, that is that toxic. And we, fortunately, things like beer and wine are far less damaging to the you know, if you drank a glass of wine a day, you wouldn't hurt your liver. And of course there's assuming it's a good
So dandelion is and beets and those things that you mentioned are some of the best things for liver, right? burdock, those kinds of things.
Yeah, the king of herbs for liver is milk thistle.
Milk thistle, that's right, milk thistle. That's the silly marin. I was thinking of milk thistle as the silly marin, right?
Right, right. And so milk thistle, yarrow, ginger, chicory root, turmeric and dandelion also. Also, zinc and psyllium are supportive of the liver.
Oh, the psyllium husks?
Yes.
Yeah.
And remember that the liver is the master gland that secretes all the biosecretions, enzymes, and cofactors that are necessary for optimum health, for thriving, not surviving. And so the liver is one of the most critical areas of our body. And that really leads us into the gallbladder, because I actually see the gallbladder as part of the liver and not a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually below the liver and it's attached. And basically the liver produces bile and it fills up in a bile sac that is what digests all your fatty acids, your long chain fatty acids and the things. So if your liver's functioning, it'll produce good bile, but obviously undigested cholesterol creates gallbladder stones, is how you get gallbladder stones.
Joseph Bender is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Joseph, stay right there. We are going to do a quick break, and we'll be back with more. Again, if you have a question, somebody again is asking, Joseph never asked you about that blood purifying herb combo. Maybe you can give us that when we get back, Joseph, if you've got that, if you got one to recommend. And this is a great product. It is on sale, and I think we have about two more days or so. So if you're interested in this wonderful product, Pine Pollen from Daniel Vitalis, on sale, use promo code PINE20. PINE20. Previously with Daniel Vitalis, we were talking about, pine pollen.
Pollen is essentially the equivalent of what an animal would have as sperm. Pollen is like the male part, the semen. And it fertilizes the ovum of the flower, which becomes eventually a fruit. And so if we were going to draw the equivalence, it would be like that the flower is like the female sex organ and the pollen is like the male sexual ejaculate. Well, pine trees, which sort of just dominate so much of the landscape of North America and so much of the world, pine trees, they're semen. They dust the landscape in pollen. And that pollen, being the sort of male part of the plant, has some correspondences to male physiology in our species and many other animal species. So what I'm saying is pine pollen contains all of these different anabolic or androgenic hormones, plant versions of hormones that we need, like testosterone, like DHEA.
Well, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, good stuff, guys, and for you girls, too. Several choices of pine pollen, any Survival Link, OneRadioNetwork.com. And as we said, now's a good time to do it, is PINE20. PINE20 is the promo code for pine pollen, and you get 20% off, and I believe it's only through the 20th. I have to check, but don't fool around, it's the 18th, so if you want to get it, now's the time to do it. I have been knocking around with these natural things since, I guess, start really talking about a natural healing on radio, I guess, in the 70s, late 70s. And I've been exposed to a lot of technologies and herbs and things like that, as you can imagine. People send you stuff and say, oh, I want you to try this. And I've tried a lot of technology, and I haven't really been impressed with, I don't know, hardly any technology. I mean, nebulizer, very inexpensive technology. I like that. And the sauna, that's really, really nice. But this one here is I've been the most impressed with. We've been breathing Brown's gas, which is a little step up from molecular hydrogen, for about a year. And there's really something going on with this. And you can hear this from George Weissman, you may be interested. We believe by experience and the literature to back it up that distilled water bubbled with hydrogen is a very good way to go. George Weissman is an authority on hydrogen.
98% of my fluid intake of all beverages has been distilled water that's been bubbled with the Brown's gas. I am now younger biologically than I was back then. This is why I'm saying that a lot of what happens with spring water, for example, is you get not only you might get the hydrogen, but you'll get minerals that are not necessarily bioavailable. A lot of places has excess calcium, for example, and ends up with calcium deposits in the body because you're getting too much calcium, even if it is bioavailable. Now that I've been inhaling the hydrogen, I find that I get my major nutrition, which is the hydrogen, calorie-free. So I was able to lose a few extra pounds. Mm-hmm. The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen. Your cells have a certain life, and they're shutting down if they're not getting their hydrogen. They're literally dehydrating.
That's where the word comes from. Go figure. Dehydration. Which is dehydrogen.
Exactly.
Whoa. Maybe you'd like to eat a little less food and stay hydrated. We know how important hydration is. It's like key. The AquaCure machine bubbles hydrogen gas in your water and also breathe it in your body. 10% off promo code OneRadio in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. And not only 10% off, but a lifetime warranty on this little puppy. Lifetime warranty, no questions asked. He'll just take care of you. George has been selling these for a long time. You can go to molecularhydrogeninstitute.org and see some peer-reviewed studies that'll kind of knock your socks off, blow your socks or whatever, about how they're using hydrogen to help people to recover from strokes. And a big study where the lady had metastasis in the lungs, cancer, totally zapped it out after a year of breathing the Brown's gas. And this is a peer-reviewed study, too, that they did. So it's pretty cool. Also, we're not making any claims here, folks, but you can try it if you like it. And then use the promo code OneRadio. Excuse me. And then he has a one-year, no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. That's it. 1 year. I mean, after 10 months, you can say, I don't want this thing, man. I don't feel it. Trust me, you won't want to give it back. George says he's only had about two or three given back in his life. People didn't use it, and that's why they sent it back. So check it out on our website, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Got a little coughing thing going here, but I think I'm going to be fine with Yosef Bender. So let's do that question. You had mentioned some herbs. Blood purifying herbs, a couple of them. Is there a product you recommend? Lisa wants to know.
I would say that they need to do research. I've used several different products.
Okay.
Nature Sunshine BP is the product that I get when I can. But there's some even better stuff than what I get, just because of, you know, if you have the budget, get the one with the most ingredients, basically. I just want to say George Weissman's an old friend, and he is a man of honor.
Oh, that's kind of you. You know George. Isn't he nice? Isn't he a good man?
Yeah. He's an amazing soul.
Yeah, he really is. Wow.
So,
that's
and
nice.
I really stand behind his work.
Thank you. He's talking about the hydrogen thing. Okay, so what about lungs nebulizing? Is it good stuff? You got some ideas of things we can nebulize? Do you recommend?
Essential oils is another. If we treat our lungs herbally, essential oils nebulizing the way to go.
Oh, can you recommend some ways to do that?
You know, there's several good ultrasonic nebulizers and things. We have one by our bedside, and whenever we have any kind of issue, we have a whole set of essential oils, and we drip in the right combination of essential oils and let that, treat us during our sleep cycle.
Oh, interesting. How can folks learn how to use a nebulizer, essential oils? Any websites you recommend, or books, or how do we get it? I'd like to learn more about that
the,
myself.
Young Living put out a nice, big, thick book on essential oils. It's kind of like my encyclopedia of learning how to use essential oils. So
you like those?
That's probably the, yeah, I would recommend that book. It's pretty expensive, but it's well worth it.
Do you do essential oils at all internally? Many people are pros and cons on that one over the years.
Say it again.
Essential oils internally, ever a few drops in water, drink them down?
No, I do ectodermally, not internally.
Okay, ectodermal.
So, yeah. So putting it on different parts of the body and the skin, and letting it soak in, is the way I get it in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here's one for you, and it feels right into where we were going to go. And she wants to know, if I can get the exact email here, can Joseph please explain his recommendations, liver and or gallbladder flush techniques? We've heard a lot over the years, right? So talk about what you've used and recommend people want to do that.
Yeah, I do a juice fast prior to any strong herbal treatment and flush that I do. There are several on the website, you know, where you use pectin and all sorts of things to kind of build up a material to push out stones in the gallbladder, and also kidney flushes into that. Obviously, the kidneys are for the lower tract elimination. Your colon and your kidneys are your main filter for your body. So whenever you drink a substance, what the body does is it measures the pH of the substance that you just drank in, and then the liver buffers, the kidney and liver send buffer to balance the pH so that it can go into the body, into the stream through the stomach lining. If it can't, if it's the pH can't be adjusted, it goes down into the lower tracts. The digestive system, the colon can pick out some of the nutrient, but that's kind of a later stage. Having the right pH balance is an absorption of nutrients, and that's why I recommend herbs. Most herbs are astringent or balanced to their own pH, and the body can readily take them in with some neutral, pure water. Don't drink water that's got crap in it.
Yeah. Is there an ideal pH for water? I mean, would you drink the same? If you had an ideal pH, I guess two questions. Is there an ideal pH? And then if there is, then would you just drink that all the time if you could?
Barring a health condition, when you're in regular health, a pH of 7.4 is the perfect pH water to drink. And that's 7.95 is what the blood pH is. And that's what the body's always trying to do, is match the blood pH, whether it's more acidic or more alkaline. It's bringing alkaline down and acidic up to try to get it to the 7.4 level, which is slightly alkaline.
So if one had low pH water, what would you do to bring it to 7.4? Could you use a little baking soda? I mean, is that too rudimentary, or does that work?
It does work, but there are ionic organic minerals that are like potassium and things that can offer it, and you get the value of the mineral itself also. So I tend to buffer my pH with, I have a whole bunch of different minerals that I have the right balance, and depending upon what issue I'm trying to address.
Those are called our organic ionic minerals?
Right, right. Inorganic minerals your body can't actually use.
Right, organic.
I tell people otherwise, right, you can suck on a nail and you don't get iron.
So if people had low pH water, they could just figure out how much per quart or whatever to get it to 7.4 with these organic ionic minerals, and the body would be happier that way?
Yes, exactly. Huh. And don't forget, the body also needs electrolytic minerals for the electrolytic balance and the extracellular water in your body. So that's how I usually balance my water, is I have potassium and calcium heavy electrolyte minerals that I add to my water to bring the pH up, because my water is slightly acidic too. It's like a 6.9.
Uh-huh. And what do you say you use magnesium?
Magnesium, calcium carbonate.
Yeah.
and malate. And citrate also dissolves really good. Of course, that brings it back down. So it's a balancing act. But if you can get on Amazon, you can get these little pH meters.
Yeah, yeah.
For like $35.
They work
and
pretty well?
You need a meter, not a... Yeah, they work okay. You know, it's going to give you a ballpark figure. It's not going to be... I've spent up to $5,000 on a
pH meter
that gets like six digits of resolution.
That's right.
The most minor thing, but man, those things are hard to keep.
Sure.
You gotta calibrate them every time.
Buffers.
So I tell people, get just a cheap one, and you know, be sure to keep the probe wet all the time. The little cap, you put a little purified water in the cap, and keep it upright in a jar. And they'll work great for basic kitchen body chemistry.
Close enough, right? I mean, you don't need pH of 6.4832. I mean, who cares, right? I mean, just get there,
exactly.
Right? Just get there. So basically, I hear you saying, Joseph, that it's the minerals you're using to then get the pH up there to the 7.4, right?
Right. Organic, usable minerals.
I wonder, have you created systems where you can do that at the front end for the whole house? Is that possible?
There are systems that I do not recommend, where after it purifies the water, it goes through a filter that picks up some calcium or something.
Right,
And buffers the pH, but those are inorganic minerals again, and it's not useful for the body.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the ideal water, it's not just the pH, it's the oxygen reduction potential.
ORP, right?
The ORP. That's how many electrons are there to donate or take away from your body.
Okay.
So a negative ORP, which would be in a like freshly ionized water, would have a negative ORP, which would donate electrons to the body. Because remember, we work on a negative voltage.
Yes.
Don't work on a positive voltage. So anything with a positive voltage is stealing electrons from your body, taking away energy from your body. There are good electrolyte formulas available that also donate electrons to the water.
And speaking of George, you mentioned George in the hydrogen machine. He says that does a really great job with a low ORP, right? You bubble the hydrogen in there. Really,
Right.
Lowers that puppy down there. That's great.
Yeah, I just saw that commercial. I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, it's great.
And I'm in when I finish this, I'm going to go in the garage and build one.
Yeah, I know. Don't buy one. You could just build it. I'm sure you could figure it out, dude. That's what we love about you. So it's August the 18th, 2020. Sorry we couldn't do the it doesn't matter. We usually have a thing where we can see both of us together. I just couldn't get it to work this morning with Joseph, so we just go back and forth. But I mainly just leave the camera on me. You know what I look like enough. But if you'd like to get in the conversation, as long as we're here, you can tell he's a smart guy. He's a smarty guy, but a nice guy. And it's Joseph Bender, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Joseph, what about... ocean water, is that organic minerals or inorganic?
The seaweed, an organic form of the ocean mineral. So eating seaweed is a very powerful way, assuming it's not full of radiation.
Yes. How about the water itself?
Again,
if you had clean ocean water, could you use that to remineralize a little bit?
You can use it to feed your sprouts or your plants and get minerals. Remember, a plant takes an inorganic mineral and puts it in an organic form. It puts the right carbon chains and cofactors and the enzymes necessary. So if you can get seawater, it's great for the plants.
But not to do it to make your water. You don't, because we can't absorb those minerals straight to the body. It's got to go through the plants.
It's got to go through the plants. Minerals from Klamath Lake and minerals from rock beds in Utah and all thing are the same story. They're great for growing. If you want to use those, grow your sprouts and eat your sprouts.
So, well, I love talking to you. You're so much, because you're a real scientist. So, what's your favorite salt ever? I mean, what do you think is the best salt going if we're going to just go for the best? What would you get?
I get the Himalayan pink salt.
You like the Himalayan?
Certain out the high mountain salt that has a characteristic that different. But I also use Celtic ocean sea salt.
That's
good.
Yeah,
Celtic salt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
As long as you're mitigating it, not obviously. There was this whole diet thing about too much salt in the diet,
right?
But it's really not enough. It's really not enough water in the diet. So you need to, So if you're not drinking water, if you're still drinking crappy water, of course you don't like it. Then you need to cut down on your salt intake because you're messing your body up. But if you're drinking pure water, you can have a lot more salt in your diet. See.
This is from Trace, wants to know, do the electrolyte mix, is that good to take? And he says energy, but I think it's emergency, but energy.
Emergencies.
Electrolytes?
I use that in a pinch whenever, because it's so readily available.
Yeah.
And so whenever I need to... in the summer, what we do is we actually take our basil leaves, lemon water, and the electrolyte mix, and make that's what we drink during the day between what we drink. We alternate between water and that electrolyte mix. Of course, we did a whole show on super hydrating and how to do it properly.
Right.
And we talked about the right electrolytes to use. But yeah, that's a decent one. Although there are some really highly developed ones like that Dr. Meridian Gray sells and Naturopath sell a better quality electrolyte mix. So if you can use, that's recommended.
If you would like to hear the show that we did, Joseph, how long was that? 2 years ago or three? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But if you put in Joseph Bender in our search function and put in water, hydration, I think you're going to find that show we did. And he's got this whole program. It's really trippy and how you can just really hydrate yourself. And it's a little, It's a little geeky to do it, but if you do it, I'm sure you'll figure it out. Let's do a phone call here. Good morning. Who's this? Hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. Go ahead with Yosef.
Yes. I just wanted to ask a question in regards to the trace minerals. Are those good?
Which ones exactly, my dear, are you asking about?
The trace minerals. I think, by the what's the name of the company? Just the trace minerals.
Is that the brand name, Trace Minerals?
I think so. I think it is. You know, the trace with all the charged electrolytes. I think it's 40,000 volts or something, you know, for the electrolytes.
Well, it's hard to say with what your description, Yosef,
what I would say to anybody, regardless of the mineral product they get, is to find out what the source of that minerals are. That usually determines whether it's an organic source or an inorganic source.
Oh, okay.
An organic would be more seaweed kind of food thing, Yosef?
Seaweed, there's plant minerals from plant extracts. There's colloidal beds of ancient plants that have digested that give awesome high zeta potential minerals. So there's several sources like that. But remember, what we really want to do is get our minerals from the plant itself. We don't want to be taking supplements, mineral supplements. We want to be eating mineral-rich foods.
Yeah.
And so that's the ultimate.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you, Raylan.
Thank you.
You were beginning to, and then you both got kind of off track. Well, I'll do that to people. The people wanted to get more. This lady wants to know more about the liver gallbladder thing. So let's go back to that, too. Have you ever done the, do you like the olive oil thing with the stones and all that for the gallbladder? Do you do that? Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done probably every cleanse.
I bet you have.
Can find on the internet.
I bet you have.
I'm a human guinea pig, so I'm always seeing what happens. Again, you know, we did a show on water fasting. That is, to me, the ultimate renewer of the body. And if you have the fortitude to water fast, you're going to get the best benefits from that. And then when you follow up a water fast, taking these herbs that we're talking about really accelerate and rebuild and strengthen whatever glandular system you're focused on. But just for the kidneys, you know, obviously everybody knows about cranberry and watermelon. Juices are really effective, real cranberry juice, not that sugary stuff that they sell in the store. Celery, cucumbers, beets, horsetail, and Ulva or Ursula herbs are also really beneficial for the kidneys. You can even use baking soda in this case to help cleanse the kidneys.
Hmm. Baking
Small
soda?
Amount of water. Huh. Yeah. It has a cleansing effect on the kidneys.
How about then Mr. Liver itself? What about coffee enemas? Are you fan?
When you start cleansing, when we get into the bowel, it's a good transition. Mm-hmm. The colon, you know, this is what we digest and assimilate all our food. And it, over time, gets clogged up with, encased with, especially like wheat products, create like a glue layer, and then stuff sticks to that, and undigested mineral, inorganic minerals that you've taken somehow get stuck to that, and they make a harder and harder lining. They've had to in some autopsies, they've had to hacksaw out the guy's colon
because
it was so rock hard.
Whoa. I don't think we want to do that.
Yes, we do not want to do that. So when I'm doing a colon detox, that's when I use green coffee enemas. Don't make the mistake I did of using regular coffee enemas, or you'll be wired for 15 hours.
Yeah, they actually sell it, don't they, Joseph? They have a special coffee enema coffee stuff. You can buy it on Amazon. And they're using green coffee.
Right.
Is that the idea? So it's not filled up with caffeine, so you don't stay stoned for 2 days?
Yeah, caffeine happens when you burn the plant, you cook the plant. The colon is probably what is most damaged in American diet because of this thing called antibiotics. So you have a cold, basically the body saying I'm toxed up. If you ever notice, a cold always comes after you overstuffed a meal. And you go to the doctor, mistake one, and you, they give you an antibiotic. And so all the gut is 85% bacteria.
Whoa. Wow.
And basically there's all little stringy fibers that the bacteria grows on. And as the food comes down, the bacteria does its work to help digest the food. And then it absorbs through the lining. When we take an antibiotic, basically we kill all that bacteria in our gut. It normally takes about 2 years to rebuild the gut from one dosage of, not one, but one complete regime of antibiotics.
What? 2 years? Whoa.
Yeah, 2 years. And it's not just restore, you also got to restore the fibers. Once they're stripped of all the bacteria, start breaking loose and flushing down, and you start losing those. And so you have to do the bone broth to help rebuild that those fibers, and then taking prebiotics and probiotics to rebuild the bacterial level.
Are those the main go-to to rebuild after old probiotics? Joseph, would be bone broth, probiotics, and prebiotics.
Prebiotic. If the person's experienced a lot of damage, aloe vera, apple pectin will help also heal some of the scars and burns and ball pockets that are in the thing. And then prunes are a great thing to keep you loose, but also to it's a great pH balancer.
Oh, it's a pH balancer. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I just thought of something. I wonder if this is valuable information. I like to do like soaked almonds or prunes, and I do put a little bit of ocean water because I got a whole barrel of pure ocean water I've had for years. I came out of the Atlantic about, 3 miles out, really pure stuff. Do you think the ocean water into the nuts or the prunes, that would probably work right?
Yeah, that'll work okay.
Pretty cool, because I'm not drinking the water, right? It's going into the almonds. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. How about the fibers, like these Himalayan, not Himalayan, there's a product that's just, from India, it's kind of a cool fiber. These things good to take? These, I guess it's psyllium husk. Yeah.
Psyllium husk?
Yeah, psyllium husk fiber. Organic, I think organic India is a...
A good fiber to help keep the body moving. If you're finding yourself constipated, you know your colon is in trouble, and of course it could be a series of things. It can be a parasite that's sucking up all the water.
Yeah.
If you're not drinking enough water, you should always drink first thing in the morning, drink a nice full glass of tap water with just a little lemon in it, and that helps also the colon start moving things. But if you're not moving things, you need to increase your fiber and increase, you know, your probiotic load.
Mm-hmm. Tamara wants to know, do trace minerals help? That's all her very simple email. Do trace minerals help?
Yeah, minerals are, there's two things minerals do in the body. So there's the electrolytic properties in the extracellular water, and then there is the nutrient value of the mineral. And again, if it has the right enzymes and cofactors, and the body's correct, it can take that in. As we grow older, we lose the capacity to absorb minerals.
Hmm.
Several minerals, that's why our hair, by the way, turns white, is because the body can absorb less and less minerals, color the hair anymore.
Really? Interesting.
So that's sacrificing to keep the body alive.
Could we balance that out some way that you know of to absorb more minerals, even when we're like 70 or 80 or something?
People that eat mineral-rich foods, locally grown vegetables, gray far less than we do.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's places in the world where people are living 150 years old, and at 80 and 90, they're looking like we are at 40.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah. A lot of minerals in their food, a lot of vegetables, a lot of all different
right.
kinds of things.
And the sad thing is that, you know, I used to eat a lot of seaweed.
Yeah.
But we have a little $30 meter that we plug into our smartphone that measures radiation levels.
Yeah.
And 2/3 of the time when I go to the store to try to find seaweed, I put the meter up to the package and it goes off the scale.
Whoa. You mean like the main stuff in the main seaweed from at the store, at the hippie food store, right in the packages, those?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Wow.
Especially the stuff from Japan.
Yeah, I bet so. Wow.
So you really, and fish too, like, and what's weird is I can come up to this same company and measure their fish 1 week and it's okay.
Yeah.
The next time I go in the store, the same fish goes off the scale.
Really? I wonder what that's about.
Well, I think the migration of the fish got, radiation-infested waters and got it absorbed, and then some swam around it or something. I don't know.
What do you think would be the safest fish? Atlantic, a deep water kind of thing, or?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you need to just get a pond in your backyard and start raising tilapia.
Tilapia. Tilapia, huh? Do you think fish are worthy food with all the challenges out there? I mean, worth having in general, overall?
Fish is one of the easiest digestible meats that your body can absorb. So, as we grow older, our digestion gets less and less, you know, so... eating heavy digestible meats, most people over 50 aren't really even digesting half of it, and it's just going into the colon and putrefying.
Mm-hmm. Folks, if you'd like to try some seaweeds from one of our sponsors, if you go to Shen Blossom through our website, he's got some really beautiful products. I'm looking at one. It's a seaweed product, and check it out. Here's the ingredients. Reishi of the sea, purple slug seaweed, and Hano Kato Maki. But he's very careful, and they test him out to make sure there's no radiation with these guys. And really beautiful. He's a Chinese medicine guy, Joseph, and Qigong.
Awesome.
And but he's really picky about sourcing material. So he checks these things. But it's pretty cool. We also have Dr. Thomas Cowan. Do you know Dr. Cowan at all? Do you know Dr. Cowan, MD? He's been talking about...
Lee Cowden?
No, not Lee Cowden. Thomas Cowan, the Heart Is Not a Pump guy, and the fellow that...
No, I haven't met him.
But yeah, he's got some... Let me turn this down here. He's got some wonderful seaweeds and burdock that they grow themselves under the idea of Rudolf Steiner. And, you know, they
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and they're... what do you call that when you just dry them out at a low temperature? What do they call that? What do they call that? A dehydrator kind of a thing, yeah. And boy,
right,
you can
right.
sprinkle those seaweeds and that burdock on your food, and whoa. Yeah. I mean, how many of us eat burdock root? I mean, when's the last time we bought burdock root, you know?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, man.
And burdock is a great skin cleanser.
Oh.
Burdock, dandelion, garlic, licorice root, and yellow dock all work on detoxing the impurities in the skin. And again, one-third of our detox goes through the skin. So our body's constantly letting go of crap. I remember one time on this water fast I was doing, all of a sudden gasoline started coming out of
no.
my skin pores.
No.
I could smell gasoline.
Really? That's crazy.
So
how long were you on this? How long were you on this fast?
It was a 21-day fast.
Wow! Just
and
water.
And it was like at days. Yeah, just water. It was like day 16. All of a sudden, I started smelling gasoline everywhere, and I had to keep dry brushing and cleaning it out of my skin, which is when you're doing a skin cleanse and taking skin cleansing herbs, you want to dry brush
yeah.
and exfoliate as much as possible.
Yeah, I like to do that before I go into the sauna, right? The skin brushing thing.
Yeah, and far infrared sauna is also
yeah.
a good way to get it out of your system.
We've got a great one that we promote. I remember Joseph reading a book in 1978 which introduced me to this whole natural thing. It was crazy. This girl that I was madly for, and she said, here, read this book. In 1978, and I had no idea about any of this stuff. And the book was Are You Confused? You remember that one? By Pavel Arola, right? And he talked about
uh-huh.
dry brushing. And I've been doing it a lot for the last 40 years since I read that one thing. That's great.
nice.
Pavel Arola. He was really something, right? Yeah. Have you ever done the dry brushing, and you do it if you see the sun streaming in the window and see all the stuff that comes off of there? It's crazy how much skin comes off of there. It's like, where does it come from? It's like...
In one of my earlier days when I was between jobs, I actually went to work for a vacuum cleaner company.
Yeah.
And we would rush in, peel off the sheets of their bed and vacuum a little and on a black cloth and show off the dead skin just to freak the people out, you know, so they want to buy a vacuum cleaner.
I bet you
but
so
the reality
long.
Is,
that's hilarious. I bet you saw a lot of vacuum cleaners like that, you know?
You do get people realizing that they live in a very toxic world.
Yeah. So I guess the skin, so if people don't do that, I guess it's just falling all over the house, right? Just, I don't know where it goes. It's like your sheets and wherever, right? Just
right, exactly. You're constantly shedding. I forget how many hours it is that you're creating a new skin and losing the old skin. You're constantly shedding off old skin, but in part because it's trying to release the toxicity in your body. So if you're doing far infrared sauna and dry brushing, you need far less exfoliation will take place.
Let me do a little plug here for something that we've been promoting. Yosef, just take a second. For, 12 years, this is Phil Wilson, a good friend of mine. He's been bringing these in. They're manufactured in Taiwan. Medical University, they've won awards for this technology. You can see the picture, or if you're on audio, just clicking on our website. You sit there, your head is out. You can even put your hands out if you want. And they have two different units at the bottom right and the lower left. And you can go at half temperature or really turn it up, and boy, you'll get hot and you'll sweat. And these are only $1,150. You have to email me. We're not allowed to put this price on the internet, but Phil lets me sell them for that. We take way less commission. I just like to sell them. $1,150 in the lower 48. And for those of you in Portland, that means not Alaska or Hawaii. Just kidding. And so these are good. Just email me if you want to get one, and we'll hook you up.
Yeah, they're very good.
They're nice. Huh?
I have one.
Oh, you have one. Yeah. Have you had yours a long time?
I have several years. And what's really valuable about this is when you go into a regular steam or a sauna room, you're heating up your head, and that's the one thing you want to keep cool.
Yes.
So even putting a wet rag around your head so that the brain doesn't heat up, but the rest of the body does, is the best way to get toxins out of your body.
And what's happening with, Ayurvedic medicine has said that forever, right? Don't heat up your head. They were always into, keeping a cool head and a hot butt, is what they used to say. Keep a hot butt and a cool head. And what goes on when we heat up the head in a sauna when we're laying there, in these expensive ones? What's the negative effects of that?
The brain is the most complex organism in the body. It's a 90 something percent water in all different forms, in crystal form, liquid form, plasma form, vapor form, all around the electron, the dendrites and the neurons firing. So you see that as a sea of water. If you dehydrate a brain, it's this little flat thing on a pan. It doesn't even look like a brain.
That doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, you do not want to do
that.
Happens is when you heat up the brain water, there's actually streams of cool water that are keeping the crystalline forms in and streams of hotter water. And so you're bombarding it with this temperature, and you're kind of like short-circuiting the brain, basically. And obviously, with enough heat, you can damage the brain beyond repair, but even with a small amount of heat. So even if you have a sauna in your home, a far infrared sauna, just put a big wet towel around your head when you go in it.
Yeah. Just do it. Well, Yosef, you're just so fun. We just need to do this more often. Let's not wait so long. I love your work because I know the kind of research you've done with all of this stuff. I mean, you're pretty picky about what you believe to be true, right?
I keep researching, and sometimes I say, I made a mistake, mm-hmm. but this is better information. So that's the key, I think, with all of us, is we should never stop looking.
Yeah.
Truth, in the Kabbalah, truth apart from truth is error. So since we don't know all truth, we know we're always in error, and the only way to quit from being in error is to keep seeking truth.
Oh, I like that. That's a Kabbalah thing, huh? Truth, say that again.
Yeah.
Truth, what was the line?
Truth apart from truth.
Truth.
Truth apart
from truth.
Apart
yeah.
from truth
mm-hmm.
is error.
So that's...
And so...
Yeah, that's kind of along the line. That's a beautiful thing. I like that. So the Kabbalah is like in your tradition in the Jewish, that's the spiritual whole setup, the Kabbalah, with your tradition, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's counterbalancing forces on either side of the tree of life.
The tree of life.
And so when we look at biological systems, we always look at the counterbalancing forces. So I use the Kabbalistic model as my template on how to look at everything in my research, in my water research, and, you know, and then layered on that is, you know, like a resonant field theory, music theory, all that helps look at the diamond from different facets.
Here's one more that just came in. I'm concerned about 5G. Is there anything that we can do to protect ourselves from electromagnetic fields, even cell phone towers and the rest of it? It's kind of a big subject, but we'll just kind of close with it. Give me some of your ideas of where we're going with this.
You can put aluminum in your attic, big sheets of aluminum, and then put a small electrical field on it and kind of create a semi-Faraday shield to block a lot of it.
Wow.
There are blankets that you can buy that you can put over you when you sleep that block a good percentage of the Wi-Fi and 5G signals. All our phones have little apps where they can see how strong the signal is to know how much protection and what direction the tower is in to shield up more of that side of the house. So you can put on a car, you can attach a broadcasting's low frequency Schumer resonance thing that broadcasts all on the metal of the car and blocks a lot of the stuff. Of course, your cell phone doesn't work as good, but
it's pretty cool. So it's actually a gadget hook up to your car to kind of buffer the stuff coming in from the cell phone tower.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Never heard of that one. The aluminum thing's fascinating. So you're talking about getting some really high-power aluminum all through your attic, and then do you actually then put just a 110 on that baby just to kind of juice it up?
Or is it's a low-voltage pulsed. I just make a 555 timer, and it's like 9 volts pulsing across the thing, and that creates a kind of a shielding barrier against a lot of the electromagnetic energy.
Do you think, before we go, do you think that just the idea of all these satellites, what are they, Joseph, maybe 20,000 doing the 5G thing, that these, it doesn't feel like these are going to be the issue. Do they have to go through a 5G kind of a tower thing near you to be dangerous?
The frequencies that satellites are on is like a different bandwidth. The whole thing about 5G is it's a bunch of small transmitters, like in all the LED lights. Now they're putting 5G broadcasters.
Wow.
And so it makes like a parabolic dish. So if the idea is 5G hits everywhere, but it hits in a very localized area. And so if you have, you know, a bunch of transmitters and you happen to be in the sweet spot of that transmitters, you're getting like 10 times the signal that a person on the either ends are getting.
Wow.
So that's why it's so damaging.
So they're actually doing, let's see if I understand what you said, 5G kind of transponders or something in LED bulbs that are going to pick this up from satellites?
I don't know how the 5G communicates across, you know, that's a different signal. But
I see.
But as far as what we're being exposed to is instead of a 4G tower reaching, there's going to be a bunch of little 5G networks all over that are going to be influencing. And again, depending upon where you are in that network, you're getting bombarded by these 5G networks. But everything can be shielded electromagnetically. Yeah. So there is hope.
There's always
a way.
There
is a good way. You know, right. Even the smart meter on your home is broadcasting negative energy into your home, and simply putting a plate on the opposite wall that's grounded to earth ground can reduce about 80% of it.
Wow, just a plate. If they won't take it out. Most places will take it out now, won't they? If you want them to.
Right.
Pay $10 a month or something extra. Well, Yosef, you're great fun. Thanks for being available. Let's do it more often. You want to? Let's do it. Because you're fun to talk to.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, let's do it. So would you please send me, if you will, you have my email, just any kind of latest contact, just to make sure I have the right thing that we'll put on the show page, okay, in print. So if people want to contact you, just so I have, make sure I have the right thing. Is that okay?
Right. Feel free to contact me on email is the best way. And if you understand that my time is valuable, I don't charge. But if you want to have a lengthy, in-depth thing, you know, it's good to send some money to say thanks.
That's right. That's the way. Well, I appreciate it. I like that idea. Yeah, it's kind of cool, I think, and we like don't charge, but, you know, folks, there's no free lunch. You know, you take someone's time. This is how he makes a living. He's got house payments just like everybody. So if you take up his time, well, then, and there needs to be an equal exchange always, isn't there? They're just, the world works better like that. The world works better. Well, Joseph, you're a nice man. My best to your mate, what's her name?
Sarah.
Oh, one of my favorite names. All right, Sarah and Yosef, thanks. Take care, and we'll see you soon, and we'll put up all this information. We'll put up your email there so folks can contact you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Okay, bye.
We appreciate it. Yeah, he's a real deal. Yosef Bender, pretty fun, huh? I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Well, no telling what we're going to do tomorrow. I'm working on a couple of things, but I know we're going to do something. Just so hang on, Sloopy. Hang on, Sloopy. Well, we had a good show. Tom Luongo, he was fun. If you just joined us, he was on this morning. You can look at his video on YubiTubi. Also, a lot of stuff about gold. We learned a lot. And then Yosef Bender. And then the audio podcast, of course, will be up in a couple of hours on One Radio Network. Okay, kids. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll be here, B Square, 9 o'clock. Let me know if we can help with anything. Any questions you have about the products that we promote, and know that the way that we make our living, thank you very much, is by promoting products and that we really like. We're very picky. You look at our suite of products that we have, we think they're probably the best. I think they are. Now, yeah, they're good. They're good stuff. Good stuff. So if we can help you with information, but consider us if you're looking to improve your life with things like hydrogen or saunas, or we do a great aloe. Yosef mentioned aloe. Just popped a new bottle today and defrosted it. I love drinking that. Boy, for the tummy. Daniel Vitalis, Shen Blossom, good things. Some really nice products, sulfur. So we appreciate it. If you got some extra bucks and you're going to be buying some things, come through us, and then you support us, OneRadioNetwork.com. People also send us donations. We appreciate that. That helps. They have for years, and we really, I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful to be able to make a living doing this kind of fun stuff. I mean, what's up with that, right? All right, kids, I love you. Thank you. And may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.